Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is. It's hump day for our month.
We're right in the center. Right in that demarcation point, left, right, front end, back end of the month.
Yep, the 15th of June.
We're starting to get some rain here. I know that, I don't know if you guys shook the rain stick for Florida or something. We haven't gotten a lot of rain. And I know that because kind of a couple of house projects, you know, some things that we did. And I've been waiting for the rain to see how things were going to hold up. For example, you know, my tiki, there was kind of an area that, when it rained really badly, you know, the Florida rains.
Yeah, the good ones.
It would kind of start sneaking into the tiki on the ground, you know, the flow. So
maybe it would get through the thatched roof?
No. It was from the rest of the area that was getting wet, it would start to all of a sudden pitch down into the tiki area from the ground and create like a river through the tiki.
Oh.
So I had the guys come out and do a quick, you know, small redo of the travertine that's out there and kind of repitch it. And today was a great way to test it. Cause it's been 3 months and this is the first big rain we've had.
You haven't had rain for 3 months?
We've had rain, but not like rain, not the Florida,
good rain,
you know, flood. And that was
downpour.
Today. Yeah, it was great. We didn't have any thing going through a river did not run through it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the things that we're going to talk about. Warming up for the discussion of this week. First of all, last week was meme stock week. Now, I got to ask you something about that. I had a guest on the Disciplined Investor podcast. Very, very well-educated, very, high up on the ladder of money managers, you know, kind of like fully discretionary over billions of dollars kind of level. And in our discussion, she said, oh, yeah, look at those meme stocks. And I didn't know what to do. Is that a potential pronunciation?
Men's stocks?
Mem. You know, you talk about the meme stocks, right? The memes.
Oh, meme. She said mem?
Mem.
No, it's meme.
And it wasn't one time. It was like three times.
And you should have corrected her.
Oh.
Tell her she sounds like a doofus saying mem. Say that.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I was stuck. I was stuck. So last week was meme stock week. This week is coin week. All the coins over the weekend. Of course, we had another quick commentary from our good pal, Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon, the stock manipulator.
Yep, talking about some kind of something about potentially, and we'll talk about that. This week coming up, we have an FOMC meeting, which stands for the Federal Open Market Committee, better known as the Feds. You know, Jay Powell and those guys. They have a rate decision meeting.
Everybody seems to be all jacked up about this one.
There is a lot of discussion that this one is going to be different. And I'm not sure what that's about. I mean, I am sure. I pretty much know what that's about. The concept that, hey, guys, do you notice we have a little inflation going on? And maybe the economy is healing in such a way that, well, now's the time to start talking about doing something about it. Because remember, they committed to 2023 through 2023.
Promised.
Yeah, or at least at 2023.
And then they had a promise.
Yeah, then they had we're not going to be even thinking about raising rates for some time. So now there's a discussion last week with, you know, maybe we don't need to be buying corporates as much. They're going to scale back on the corporate purchases each month from the $120 billion that they have in the kitty each and every month. And the big question is, when are they going to start cutting back on treasuries? That's the big issue, because that would pull liquidity out of the system. And that's going to be the first thing they'll do. They'll start working on what's called repo operations, reverse repos and repo operations. And they'll start talking about having less money go into the bonds. And that would be a drop in the overall liquidity that the Fed's providing.
Well, that would probably be at least acceptable to raising the rates.
Right. Raising rates of the last one. The last thing they're going to do.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think the thing is right now is that over the last 2 weeks, we saw that it was a significant move back down on bonds. Remember, everybody was like, oh, my God, the 10-year is going up to 2%. The trajectory is right there. It's moving. And we got to about 1.75%. It leveled off there, and that was it. Then it cut below 1.5 last week. It was like 1.48, 1.5.
Everyone's in a tizzy.
Yeah, and then we saw that inflation number, which we're going to talk about in a minute, pretty incredible number that came out this week. And we saw a little bit of an uptick back. So the concern is the Fed going to do something here? So, and we are in the summer. And in the summer, of course, we have Father's Day. And hopefully, just a reminder to everyone to take care of your dads. Happening this Sunday. Do something nice. Do your kids usually get you presents and all sorts of stuff?
No.
I mean, mine neither. I'm like, oh, oh. They're like, what do you want, Dad?
Cars
I'm like,
and flowers for the mother, but nothing for the dad. Father's Day is always a bust.
It's a bust. It's a dud. I mean, we get together. One of my daughters is like, Dad, I'm not gonna be with you for brunch. We'll meet up for dinner. I'm like, okay. You know what am I gonna say, right? The whole family's getting together for a brunch, and so I said, like 1 year ago, like, what do you want? I'm like, listen, all you have to do is once a year, maybe for my birthday too, twice a year if I stretch it. This particular cologne I like, just buy me that. Just buy me that. It's like, what, $35, $50, something like that, right? Between the three kids. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, come on.
It's
Fess up.
I don't know what it's called. It's with a star. You know what? I don't know what it's called. I honestly don't. It's in like a blue, like a light blue bottle. I'll find out and I'll tell you next week, okay?
All right.
But it's not an expensive cologne. It's a very light. It's a very airy. It's a very kind of like, you know, light spring day kind of cologne. Now it's bothering me that I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, so
your kids don't get you stuff. No. You don't even care.
No, I guess not. Right, because I don't even know what the hell my cologne is called. All right, so the summer is here. We're wondering if volumes are going to decline. Usually what happens is, right, in the summertime, what happens to the traders? Where do they go? What's the old story? Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, about selling Maine and go away.
Yeah, but where are all the traders? Where was the story where they used
to? They go to the Bimini. Yeah, they go to the Bahamas. I don't know where they go.
They go to the Hamptons.
The Hamptons.
They go out to the Hamptons. Maybe these days they go to the Bahamas and all that, but they go to the Hamptons.
For Allen and Company's big mansion there.
Yeah, and they spend the summer, they'd get a share, or they'd buy a house. These days it's like $25,000 a month for a house out in the Hamptons. And wow. And Montauk as well. Now Montauk's crazy. I'm going out there in end of July, I think.
And Montauk?
Yeah.
Huh.
I used to go there every summer when I was a kid.
Why?
Because my parents, we had a boat. We'd take this boat and we'd all sleep on the boat. We'd all drive out to Montauk. Looking back on it, my dad was like really, he would freak out because we had to go through the Shinnecock Canal, which is a lock system. Where,
yeah, from what, the 1800s?
Yeah, but you go through this thing and it kind of closes the door and either it goes up or it goes down, depending on which way you're going, right?
Yeah.
And my dad was always panicked about, we had to sit there and like take like hours of discussion about, don't hold on, don't tie any ropes, don't do this. One of the most dangerous things you could do is go through a lock, it's the whole thing. Other boats, stay in command, get the life jackets out, this whole thing. I'm like, okay, we're all freaking out and so nervous. Like the family that needs Xanax to go through this thing. We go through it. It's like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was 5 minutes and we just went right through. It was not a big deal.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what we're supposed to do unless you're a big giant shipping boat that gets stuck sideways.
I know. So anyway, we would do that and we'd go out to Montauk and just hang out. And it was a very sleepy fishing town at the time. Not like it is now. So there you go.
Out here in California, we go to amusement parks.
That's what you go?
Or to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the two. It's pretty much our only, we don't go to places like Montauk. That would be like going to Bend, Oregon or something like that for a getaway. I don't.
No good?
Just, no. Mm.
All right, so let's get on to where the markets are and then catch everybody up to that. One other point, major point. Wait, the Sahara dust storm is coming. Have you heard about the Sahara dust?
No, I have not heard anything about this.
Tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow.
It's going to hit the East Coast?
It's going to hit the East Coast. It's going to be in Florida, supposedly. I mean, every time they say it's here, I never see it.
It turns the sky red.
I haven't seen it. Supposedly going to start tomorrow or start today a little bit, tomorrow and into like Thursday or something, then that's it. So you have to be careful of your,
Well, if it's raining, they'll clear it up instantly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So no stopping the buyers. We know that. PPI comes out the hottest on record, by the way. Today. The producer price index came out the hottest on record since they updated their calculation methodology in 2010. Now, I went back and I looked at the famous charts that we look at on Shadow Stats to see what does inflation look like if there is, if they didn't change the methodology. And we're running it 8.5% or 9%, according to them. They do CPI, not PPI. Some people are talking about that we're really running 12% right now. Because remember, they start taking out things. They take out cars and travel and energy and food. It's like, okay, let's take out all the things that you utilize to see what the inflation looks like. Doesn't seem to work very well. But now what's happening is with this going on, it seems interesting because you would usually think that you would see bonds start moving up because the more information that you get along the way to provide the outlook of whether or not there's inflation or not, which should give us some indication of what the Fed's going to do theoretically.
Yeah.
But the Fed pretty much said, the hell with it. We don't give a crap what this looks like. We're keeping up with our current program. And with what happened at the beginning of the year, with the thought there was inflation and all that, and bond price was starting to drop and yields were starting to come up, well, what happened was we saw the major move into financials and energy and all that. Well, now we're seeing that reverse in the last week or so, 2 weeks. All of a sudden, growth, technology is back in favor. In fact, the NASDAQ finally hit a new high last week.
Yeah.
So, housing prices to the moon. Lumber prices dropping back to earth. I have a great chart to show you. So there we go. There's our kind of intro, catch up, fill in. What's the score of the basketball game?
I don't know. I'm not watching it.
No?
I watch it. I don't even know why I was watching it, but I got caught up in it.
Mm. Okay, so Israel.
By the way, the lumber prices, since you're talking about, it's still not very low. I mean, if it was at the price it is now and it was whatever it went from to now, it's too high.
It's a double. It's a double in a year.
Yeah, it's a doubler. Yeah.
It's a double in a year instead of a tripler.
It's got to get down. If it gets to 600, I think it'd be maybe acceptable.
I mean, you have just another, what would that be? 1,600, 40% drop, 30% drop from where it is now to get back to 600. But it was 400 like a year ago, a year and a half ago.
Well, I did, but nobody's doing anything because of the COVID.
Right. So in Israel, big vote that they voted out Netanyahu after a 12-year rule. He's going to move aside. And
I thought he was there for 30 years the way I was. He was there forever.
He seems like he was. I don't remember anybody. Who was before him? It was Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion, yeah. An Israel tech millionaire. That kind of doesn't go in line, doesn't it? Isn't it billionaire supposed to be?
There's nothing about a millionaire. That's anyone who owns a house.
Yeah, an Israeli tech 10,000-aire and lawmaker, Bennett, who many describe as more right-wing than his predecessor.
First thing I saw when I saw this announcement, I said, oh, my God, they've made Colonel Klink the new prime minister. He looks like him to me.
I got to look him up. I know nothing. Say nothing.
That's Schultz.
That's Schultz. What? Does he have a little eye thing too? The little round eye thing? Let's see.
The monocle.
Images. Yeah. Yeah, younger, a younger Clink, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's just as bald and he looks like Clink.
Yeah. Was that McHale's Navy? Was that that was? No, that was.
No, Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, yeah, Hogan's Heroes. Hogan.
Hogan.
So I wonder if the there's going to be a change in the U.S.-Israel relationship because, you know, oftentimes you've seen this. Every time there's a new president, somebody's going to test them. Iran's going to do something. North Korea's going to do something. You know, there's going to be some kind of a test in that to see how strong the U.S. is going to respond.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be something.
So now we have this new leader. And remember, under Netanyahu, he didn't take any crap. He was very heavy-handed.
Yeah, and he kept wanting to bomb them.
Yep. Corporate 15% global tax. An update on this.
Ugh, dumbest thing
an
ever.
An update on this. I think.
Trying to get us used to one world government.
I'm trying to remember if you talked about this or I just thought about this as you were talking about this on this Sunday's No Agenda. No Agenda, by the way, Thursdays and Sundays, Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak. You can listen live on the No Agenda stream or anywhere podcasts are served. So there's this pushback already on this theoretical global minimum 15% tax rate and carve-outs being requested, in particular in the UK. The British finance minister, Rishi. No, remember something. What is the UK's biggest industry, particularly in London?
Finance.
It's all finance, all banks and stuff like that.
It's a finance operation.
So the finance minister is pushing the city of London to be exempt from a new global minimum corporate tax system championed by the Group of Seven economies. An official close to the talks in the UK said that they're pushing for an exemption on financial services.
I think this is great. I think these guys come up with this cockamamie 15% thing, and let's leave the banks out of it.
So ridiculous.
Does anybody think anyone's going to buy into this idea? Oh, everyone's going to get taxed more except the banks.
Yeah, and then what are you going to do? And Israel's going to say, well, the biotech and technology industry should be exempt. And then this one should be exempt. How do you come up with a global minimum tax rate but have anything exempt? Does that make any sense in the world?
No.
So stupid. The whole thing is so stupid. There's no way this is going to go through. We're back to the concept of we have a framework. You know, that concept where we're going to have a and then nothing gets done.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Let them, I guess it gives them something to do.
Something to talk about. They're otherwise bored.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Now,
we have an update from Volkswagen. They said on Wednesday that it agreed with former executives, including ex-CEO Martin Winterkorn, to settle claims related to the Dieselgate scandal. How many years is this going on? And paying back the car maker. And the car maker, Volkswagen, will actually receive $351 million in compensation.
What?
Yeah. Because what they did was now they went after all the management that was involved, maybe even board of directors that was involved in any of this during the period this went on. And they did clawbacks. Now, you may say, what kind of executives have $351 million? I don't understand, right? Well, the insurance is covering it. The settlement consists of 270 million euro, which is most 95% from the directors and officers' liability insurance.
Interesting.
So, once again, maybe a couple of guys got hit for a couple of million here or there. Maybe they even said, all right, look, we're going to get the money from the directors and officers insurance, you know what? Forget it. We're not going to, let's just take that and be done with it. So they it's amazing though that the company sued, you find it really interesting, they sued their own directors. That's what they did. They sued their own CEOs and then they just went right through their insurance and somehow got approved to be paid.
They're going to get no money.
You think they're
going to take the whole thing as a loss.
You don't think it's going to be money coming?
It's a tax scam. I'm sure it was some sort of tax scam. These guys are really good at this sort of thing.
Well, what I think is going to happen is the insurance
companies aren't going to put up with this bull crap.
Well, they're going to do a subrogation. They're going to go after the... Now, then they're going to go after the... Well, I guess they can't go after directors. unless it was willful and maybe there was fraud involved, which there was.
Yeah, no, there's no way that the insurance will have to cover it because of that.
But again, let's say the insurance does cover it. Let's just say that for a second. The insurance covers it. Again, once again, the people that were involved got away with it. And they probably had no major clawbacks on their compensation. No,
probably not, but I have to say it was a pretty creative scam. I mean, if you look back on it, how they did it, how it worked and all the rest, I'm reminded of the testing scams we had at PC Magazine. We had, this is years ago, it's like 20 years ago.
On technology, computer devices?
Computer devices, graphics cards mostly.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the graphics card, just almost exactly the same scam. And there's certain graphic card makers, and I can name who they were, that did this. Once the graphic card had enough, it had enough smarts that once it realized it was being tested.
Oh.
Once the card realized it was being tested, it gave bogus results.
So there was some kind of program in there.
Yeah, looking for a specific test.
And then it would spit out some kind of great
bogus results. This is exactly the way the Volkswagen diesel thing worked. If it felt it was being tested, it would be just a beauty. It would cough out nothing. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting idea. I think it's still going on.
With the cars, there's all sorts of mission things going on.
I think with cars, with technology, with everything that ever gets tested.
I heard there's a whole major situation going on with Yamaha outboard engines right now that are emission related, that there are, I think in the California port, there are containers after containers filled with Yamaha Yamaha outboard engines that cannot be shipped. And these orders were canceled.
Hmm.
The whole entire industry of outboard motors right now is a disaster. I saw a picture of a boat today that is being delivered to a new client that bought the boat, right? There are engines on the boat. There's no lower unit. I saw the picture. They just can't get the parts. So they're putting what they got on and said, okay, here you go. We'll get you the lower units one of these days.
Wow.
Yep. What else we got? GameStop, earnings and other. Okay, so they came in with earnings last week after you picked it for the game on a short against 7, I believe it was. And kind of what you would expect. No surprises, really. Nothing exciting to offer. But then they said Wednesday that they are appointing former Amazon executives to the CEO position and another high-level executive position. Matt Furlong as its new CEO. And Mike Recupero, chief financial officer, both relatively unknown. People think they may be in Australia. But basically what they tried to do initially was to bring the big name on. We have former Amazon executives coming on.
I mean, please. It's one of those companies, the executives at Amazon are just have to be a bunch of yes men. Come, let's be realistic.
And the stock drops from $300 to $225.
Ooh.
So, you know, then there's some discussion. They're building some distribution centers. They're like, wait. I thought this whole thing was converting
into
the
Amazon guys.
Right, but I thought you were converting into an online deal. I thought this whole store, the GameStop, the trade in the games, the DVDs, the discs, I thought that was all gone. And why are you doing distribution centers? There was some weird stuff going on in the news. And bottom line is, it's not gonna end. And then they came out with a 5 million share offering on top of that.
At the current price?
Yeah, they said from time to time, we're gonna be selling up to 5 million shares. So that would put a bunch of money in their coffers.
Yeah, that would be the way to go. It's $1 billion.
Yeah. So. GameStop just keeps on going.
Bonus time.
Yep. Biogen, there's a controversy on that as well. Third member of the food and drug. There was a big announcement last week that a drug that's been pending forever and ever and ever for Alzheimer's got some kind of approval. Stock was halted, went up like 50%. Biogen, big stock, went up 50%. Well, right afterwards, a third member, so it was two and then another one, of the FDA advisory panel that was involved here resigned over this controversial decision to approve the new Alzheimer's drug Aduhelm. Now, this guy is Dr. Aaron Kesselheim. He's a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Said the agency's decision on Biogen was probably the worst drug approval decision in recent U.S. history. And at the last minute, the agency switched its review to the accelerated approval pathway based on the debatable premise that the drug's effect on brain amyloids, yeah, was likely to help patients with Alzheimer's, was likely to help them.
Likely. I love there's this likely, we think.
Yeah. So it's accelerated approval pathway. It's not even approved. The stock goes up 50% on this, comes back about 10% or so since then. And there's a whole controversy. It's this whole thing. It's like, okay, let's just get it through, I guess, already. I don't know what's happening. It's the world has gone pear-shaped, man. It's gone pear-shaped.
Well, the drug companies are dominating the scene and they're pushing their weight around. It's terrible.
I think maybe COVID has fast-tracked the idea of fast-tracking.
Yeah, I think it has.
You know? So it's like, what the hell? They're dying anyway. And you know what? Alzheimer's. They're not going to remember. Give it to them. I mean, I guess that's kind of maybe what the discussion was. You know?
Yeah, that's, but why not?
Right. Campbell Soup.
Can't hurt.
Campbell Soup last Wednesday slashed its forecast for full year earnings on higher costs related to raw materials and transportation. The canned soup maker expects fiscal 2021 adjusted earnings between $2.90 and $2.93 a share compared to its prior forecast of $3.03 to $3.11. So we're starting to see more and more of this flow through, this higher cost issue. And not just from raw materials. A big issue is the transport, getting the stuff.
Well, yeah, and it's also I wonder when Campbell has made some moves to different sorts of packaging, but they still have the majority of their product, I still believe, is put in a tin can.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they don't move to an aluminum can. It would save so much in shipping.
Does Campbell's soup use aluminum or tin? I'm gonna do a Google here.
It's steel, actually, not really tin.
Has transitioned to non-BPA lining in all of our aluminum and steel cans in the United States.
I've never seen an aluminum can of anything from Campbell's, except their tomato juice.
The soup cans consumers buy at the grocery store these days are made out of steel and tin. While the majority of the material is soup, thin layer of tin coating their insides, corroding. Yeah, so there you go. The can's recyclable. It's made with steel with an aluminum tab. Oh, there's aluminum tab on the top. Well, you know the ones that you can pull on the top?
Yeah.
Because I guess in steel you couldn't bend it.
It's a good way to cut yourself, right? Those things.
Right. So, again, there's a significant amount of increase in total cost. So yeah, there's material costs, and the material costs may have been if they were even in plastic somehow, if they were, for the majority of the soups, it's still the issue of getting something from over there to over there. The costs are very, very, very expensive. So,
but that's okay. We can ship containers full of Chinese goods across the entire Pacific Ocean in a nonstop manner, but Campbell's can't move a soup can of soup from Hartford to New York City.
Right. Yeah. Big problems. I think Campbell's is US made. I don't think it's like we're getting that from Argentina.
No, it is. I'm just saying, what, how can the Chinese ship stuff over here and stock our stores with Chinese goods, but Campbell's can't move a couple of cans?
Yeah. Or is it just the weather excuse disguised as the cost excuse?
Ah, bingo.
It's the inflation excuse of the day. It's the inflation-y weather excuse.
Yeah, some new way to jack up the price. Yeah, that's right. What am I thinking?
Right. You know, we're doing everything we can. We have to lay off a few people and raise the prices. Well, that's the other thing. You talked about it on that you did talk about on New Agenda, which you talked about shrinkflation.
Yes.
Where you take a product that's a 12-ounce can of soup, let's say, and it's $1.95, let's say. And now you may not raise the price because that gets noticed. But now you have 11 and a half ounces in the can.
Or 11.
Yeah. Nobody notices that. Nobody notices. Slowly but surely, you start blending those in. And maybe, you know, you keep the can the same size or something, too. Just put a little bit less in.
Yeah, like a short fill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like when the restaurants put, you know, 12 pounds of ice in your drink. And, you know, I'm like, okay, excuse me.
And a splash of soda.
Yeah, I'm like, can you give me, like my dad does. It's so embarrassing. But he's like, I'd like a, first he says, you know, I'd like a half Diet Coke and a half regular Coke. Okay. But bring it in its own glass, and can you bring a side of ice, please? So he gets the whole thing filled up.
I like the side of ice idea.
Yeah. But he does that whether or not he knows if you get free refills or not. You know? He also does the coffee, half caf and half decaf.
Yeah.
Can you pour half decaf in and half caffeine, please? I'm like, why do you do that, Dad? Well, it just got like a little caffeine. I'm like, okay. All right. Okay. All right. We got some party poopers out there, Airbnb and VRBO, you know, the place that you can go and rent the house for a short period of time. Well, they're teaming up to combat repeat party house offenders. The company's announced Friday that they're developing the you always have to have names for things. They're developing the Community Integrity Program, an industry collaboration to share information on removing listings and strengthening action against repeat offenders who book rentals just to throw parties in them.
Huh.
So, what's
that big of a problem?
I've heard of situations where you have an Airbnb and they're renting it out and there's garbage everywhere. It's very loud. It's a lot of parties, you know, and you're in a neighborhood because it's not like you're segregated. You're next to somebody's house, right? You're right there. So you got people parking on the lawn and all that. But, you know, you got to wonder, you know, they want to have it both ways. They want to have all this stuff booked. They want to make money all they can, but yet not have this certain element. So, and the parties probably pay a lot more because that's one of the things the young people do is they pull up their money. These, on the New River, the boats, we have all these like little mini barges that hold, I don't know, 30 people. They're just kind of big pontoon boats. They go for like $1,800 for a half a day. My son does charters. He gets $3,500 a half a day.
Wow.
So what's interesting about that sounds really expensive. But what you do is you get 10 of your friends together, you chip in $300 or so, and you go out for $300. Everybody just pulls all the money together, and you go out and have a great day. So,
I guess that goes on.
Yep. Bad decision. China has punished 27 government officials deemed responsible for last month's ultramarathon deaths. Have you ever heard of ultramarathons?
Not until now.
Yeah. These are a very, very intense type of sporting event. 21 people died of hypothermia when all of a sudden extremely cold weather suddenly descended on a government-organized 100-kilometer, which is, I don't know, what is that? That's 5K.
70 miles.
3 times, how much? Yeah, 62 miles. 62 miles.
Okay.
62 miles, right. So 62-mile run.
That's a long way.
62-mile run. I thought there was that human wall when you hit a wall at like 20-something miles.
26.
That's bad. 26. This is more than two marathons. And begs the question of who the hell are these people that want to do something like this?
They're really fanatics.
It's like run, Forrest, run.
I made it. These guys died.
Yeah, 21 people died.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what you always have at the back end of all any of this kind of thing in China is 21 people died during the race because of hypothermia. And then, of course, the main organizer was found dead from a fall from a high-rise building.
Wow.
Suicide? Revenge?
Lesson? Maybe anything. Who knows?
Lesson learned. So that's kind of terrible. But and so China now stopped any of these long range types of events or other kind of there's other things they do too, like mountain climbing, but extreme climbing.
Extreme, yeah.
You know? All right, so then the question is, right now, we're back on lumber here. Here's your lumber price chart on the show notes for episode number 560. How are we on episode 560? That seems like it's light.
Yeah, maybe.
If I'm on episode 700 something. Once a week. But I'm on episode 700 something of The Disciplined Investor. That's 200 more. That's 4 years, maybe.
You've done that show forever.
Forever. It's been forever. But here's lumber. It went from what, 1,700 down to 996 when I captured this yesterday. We had a couple limit down days on it. And we had the biggest ever weekly loss was last week. So,
well, it should still go down to 400 as far as I'm concerned.
And where to start?
Still too high.
Yeah, see, in July it was like 400. Was it 860, 400? Yeah, so July of 1 year ago. 1 year ago, it was 400. Congressional threats. Here they go again. You know, they're waving the fingers. For, you know, they're after the car companies back. Well, how dare you fly on a private jet? And, you know, all these, you know, all the things, you bad Zuckerberg with your Facebooky thing. Well, now markets don't care because it's probably not going to happen, but they're going after Apple and Amazon and Facebook and Google. They're going to be possibly forced to overhaul their business practices under an expansive set of antitrust reforms introduced by a bipartisan group of the House.
It's already, I always get a kick out of it. They bring this stuff up after these guys have already violated any normal antitrust actions. I mean, buying Instagram, buying all these different companies, there's already water under the bridge. It's too late. What are you going to do now?
Right.
Just shake your fist. You guys, you screwed us.
It's like the TSA stopping. This is the whole point. This is my whole issue with the shoes. You know why we take off shoes when we go into an airport through the security thing?
Yeah, because one guy
lit his shoes on fire.
Yeah, it didn't do anything. Except stink up the plane.
Ugh.
And get him conked in the head by with a fire extinguisher, which had to hurt.
That's so stupid. Late. God forbid anybody is like ahead of the curve in government. God forbid. Has it ever happened?
No, it's not possible.
Elon's at it again over the weekend. He said on Sunday that the company will resume Bitcoin transactions once it confirms.
Maybe.
There is a reasonable clean energy uses by miners.
Yeah.
When there's a confirmation about 50% of clean usage, then they're going to be able to take it back. So this was made in reaction to his comments from an asset manager from South Africa who said that Musk's tweets on Bitcoin prices were market manipulation and should have triggered an investigation by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, which I keep on saying I still don't understand and think that they may have oversight on this.
It's not that we haven't talked about this on the show since day one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, moved up by 7%, and there you go. Crypto is getting an upgrade. The first Bitcoin upgrade in 4 years has been approved by miners around the world. It's called Taproot, and it's due to take effect in November.
An upgrade or a fork?
No, it's not a fork. It's going to be, well, theoretically, it could turn into a fork if people are against this, right? But all the miners agree to it. It's going to mean greater transaction privacy and efficiency, and crucially, it will unlock the potential for smart contracts, a key feature of blockchain technology, which eliminates middlemen from even the most complex transactions. So that's to mainly do with digital signatures. So greater privacy. Yeah. Keys won't
the blockchain eliminates both complex transactions are complex transactions in such a way that they always need somebody in the middle to figure them out.
Well, to authenticate.
Yeah, well, there's authentication, but there's also the fine print. I mean, it's just there's more to it than just a simple
putting it in a log, which is all the blockchain is.
Right. It's an automated record book.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, we have Ethereum and a few others that are smart contract based, right? So I guess they're trying to get it more, taking another, I don't know, they're just trying to make it better, I guess. So, but it was agreed to by all the miners. Now, that's another thing I was reading, which I didn't put in our notes, but
who are all, you know, anyone could do mining.
Yeah, but the miners.
Well, who are the all miners. The miners that agreed?
The four guys that were in the room when they did they raised the hand.
Yeah, that's about right. All the miners.
All in favor?
My ass.
Yeah. And not miners like people under 18. Miners as in Bitcoin miners. But you have a mass exodus about to happen. Some talk about the Chinese government said, you know what? You got like a month. Get the hell out. All your miners out, 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 out. They're blaming some of the climate issues that they didn't meet their climate
goals. Oh, no.
Yep, yep, that's part of it.
So they took Elon's cue, which is bull crap, and decided to use that as an excuse. This is fabulous.
And they're supposedly going to be migrating to Texas. That's the newest. This is the newest discussion.
Where there's all this cooling water and everything, you can no chance of servers overheating in Texas.
Right. No chance of that or brownouts, blackouts.
Moving it to the northern climates of Alaska or Canada or Lapland.
The whole thing. It's just I find this stuff. Now, listen, if you're listening to the show and a lot of the stuff we talk about that we are scratching our head about because it's just so much dumb out there. And most of it is created out of thin air by the media.
Yeah. Yes. And we're here. We're the two skeptics.
Trying to understand. So
well, most people are okay.
Yeah, of course.
Lapping it up.
Yep.
Texas sounds good.
Yep. I don't understand how all the miners are going to move there anyway. Are we allowing a lot of Chinese people to come into our country now? There's so many things. We're just going to all of a sudden allow all these things to be, they're going to ship them all over and just put them in a basement somewhere or in a old gas station that we're not using anymore or in a Wawa. Who knows? So crazy. Well, people use certain aids for sleeping. I'm not talking about pills and things. I'm talking about like a sleep apnea machine. You've heard of these. You've seen these things. These
CPAPs.
Yep, CPAPs people put on and helps them breathe, not fall asleep. I think the whole thing's a bunch of hooey, but I guess it works for some people.
Some people need it, I guess. Yep.
So Philips, which is one of the major CPAP machine manufacturers, has issued a recall on select sleep apnea machines and ventilators over concerns that the foam component, I guess the filters, may disintegrate and can be inhaled by the user, possibly causing health issues, including toxic and carcinogenic effects. Huh. So the company said that it's already begun to replace the sound abatement foam with new material and will ship it out to first generation DreamStation products to impacted families. Following regulatory approval, the company's DreamStation 2 CPAP is not impacted by this issue. So if you have it, you need to call up. You don't want to be inhaling cancer. A couple more things right here. The Chicago Board of Options, the CBOE, global markets are going to extend global trading for S&P index options and volatility index options beginning November 21st. I thought there were some futures here too, but it's just the options. So they're going to be extending it. It's going to be like, you know, usually they cut off like at 4:15 in the afternoon or 4:30 and they open up at 9:30 in the morning. I think they're going to allow them to trade from like 8:00 at night. So
yeah, well, this is a little overdue. It seems to me in the computer age.
Yep. And we have what I think is really, I'm in Florida. There's been a lot of talk about this. This whole Governor Ron DeSantis and his mandate that you cannot demand, no business can demand for you to provide a vaccine card, right? The health
our pay. Next president.
Right. Yeah. Let's say it another way. Doesn't have to supply a vaccine passport or can't. You can't require it. So all of a sudden, we have a problem in Florida, and that is the cruise ships that are requiring a vaccine passport, vaccine card, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah. Well.
So everybody was like, what's going to happen here? Well, DeSantis is going to have to do something. We're talking about big money. We're talking about money. It's not just like Miami. It's Miami's Fort Lauderdale. It's up north.
He'll come up with a workaround.
Here's what happened.
He's still going to demand what he wants.
He hasn't said anything. However, so who's gonna blink? Right, that's the question. Who's gonna blink? Well, Royal Caribbean blinked. They clarified his vaccine policy ahead of the cruise line's return to U.S. ports next month, saying that Monday that all passengers, 16 and older, must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19, except for on ships setting sail from Florida.
Wow. They knuckled under.
Yep. The cruise line said it expects 90% of passengers to be vaccinated in Florida, despite the lack of the mandate. The 10% who aren't vaccinated will be required to undergo testing and follow other protocols at their own expense. So they may be required to ask for that and to provide that, right? There's a difference than mandating that you provide a vaccine card in order to do business, right? That slight differential. In other words, you have to show that you were vaccinated or not, and there'll be different protocols if you're not vaccinated. Hmm. What do you think about that?
It's probably something DeSantis isn't going to like.
Why would he like that?
Because, you know, he doesn't want anything to do with this whole thing. His idea is that I don't think he's going to like it.
Oh.
I mean, that doesn't mean they're not going to do it, but it is big business.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting that this happened. But I guess the summation of this and the moral of this is money first, health second.
Oh, yeah. Well, that has to be the right. Moral.
Right.
What kind of a country you think we're living in?
Yeah, I forgot for a second. We do have to announce just a reminder that by the end of this week on Friday, which is, what is the date there? Friday 18th. By the end of the closing of the 18th, the close to the pin for the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust is going to be closing. Yeah. So you have to make sure to get your price guess in there. And I'm kind of interested in this one to see who's going to get close, if any of the former winners get this one close, because it's a different animal.
This is going to be one of the toughest.
Right. Hey, thanks everybody for the donations. Really appreciate all the fine people out there that have and are continuing to support the show. You can go over to DH Unplugged and you can click on the little yellow button. You could donate weekly if you want, or monthly. You know, you can put an automated donation that goes on there, and it really helps out for all the things that we do. And we really appreciate this, and we really will continue on with your great support. So please continue doing what you do best, which is hopefully giving us a couple of donations. Anything to say on that?
Sorry?
Anything you have to say? Anything you'd like to add to that?
I think people should, they're getting anything out of the show, they should consider supporting it. I mean, just that's, it's not that difficult. They support a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Let's see. I got two more little things. Vulgar. Chinese social media platform WeChat on Thursday published a list of activities that were violations that they found vulgar. It's banning a bid to clean up its live streaming service, including indecent nose picking and spanking games. I guess there was
What's a nose picking game?
I guess there was who can go deeper, who can get more stuff, colors. Maybe it's color matching. Maybe it's.
And what's spanking game?
I'm assuming it's some kind
They've
of.
They've gone out of control in China.
Yeah, maybe it's some kind of like spank designs, I'm thinking. Or deepness of red color, maybe black and blues, how fast a black and blue can form.
Oh, God.
Let's see what else I got. New thing. Just to once again talk about the locusts, or what are they called? The
cicadas.
Cicadas. I got to change the name of those two. They're called locusts. When I was young.
Locusts are different. Locusts actually eat vegetation. Cicadas do not.
Oh, what do cicadas eat?
They only feed when they're larvae in the ground.
And all they're doing when they're out and about, like they are now in some parts of the country, is they just making a lot of racket to attract mates.
Oh, they're mating.
Yeah, they're mating, and it makes a lot of noise. They're noisy maters.
Yeah. So Laurent Vallette's tasting menu is not for the faint-hearted, but may point to the future of, back to this again, a future of a feeding of booming world population. You've talked about this on No Agenda as well.
We talk about it all the time. It's disgusting.
There is a prawn salad with yellow mealworms, crunchy insects on a bed of vegetables, and chocolate-coated grasshoppers.
Yeah, well, that's old. The chocolate-coated grasshoppers have been around forever, but nobody, of course, only kind of people want to grow somebody out, eat them.
Right. You know, there's a whole
this
bunch
whole
of
thing is it's ludicrous publicity stuff.
Publicity stuff. That's isn't that exactly what that is? I mean, the whole idea is like everybody's like, ew. No. Certain.
I want to see the chef eat these things, that his creations.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, a fine steak that can be provided with, you know, a well-rounded meal. It just, I mean, there are some cultures that eat this, and they probably like it.
Yeah, they usually live in mud huts.
Have you ever eaten a mealworm?
No,
I
not,
have. But
not on purpose.
I have. It's not, it's more of a pulpa, you know, a bigger one like that. I've eaten that. It's not so good.
I wouldn't think so.
No, it's you bite into it and then all of a sudden you get this that spits out of it.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's not so good. Not so good. I mean, I've had some things that were okay. Like I got scorpion. Why? Because I had scorpion. Ants, kind of interesting.
How was scorpion?
It didn't taste like anything. It tastes like a barbecued piece of stick.
Well,
the one thing I did like was
ate
crickets.
The whole thing, shell and all.
I ate up to the tail. I wasn't eating the tail. Yeah, just crunch on it. I ate crickets. Crickets were good. They were kind of interesting. I told you the story. I was in, I think, Vietnam or Cambodia.
A lot of people eat crickets. Yeah.
They were good. It was fine. It was. It tasted like Doritos. The one thing you need to do though. If you eat crickets, don't make the mistake that I did, which was just eat them. Because what happens is their freaking legs get caught in your throat. You got to snap the legs off.
That's why you don't want to eat pot.
Pot? Like what, pot?
Yeah. Raw pot.
Why? What happens there?
Marijuana.
What happens there?
It's got little jaggedy things that are in there. And it does the same thing. It gets stuck in your gut, right in the duodenum or some part of your stomach, and you get this cramps that goes on for days.
Yeah.
You have to cook them.
Yeah. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Yep. Well, in one within one show, I hit a 24% kill with my GameStop short.
Mm-hmm. You got two things within two shows. Look at Morphic. Yeah.
Morphic way up 27%.
Which is interesting because you thought Selecta was going to be bought by Morphic.
Or the other way around.
Oh.
I knew that. See, here's, I will go back. I will review this particular dual pick. One of the board members who was on a board of both these companies started buying both these companies.
Right.
And it just looks suspicious. And in fact, if there's a deal that does come down, I think the SEC should investigate this guy. To be honest about it.
Yeah. So one of them is up 27.8% since the 2nd of June, two shows ago. And one of them is up 12.13. Morphic is up 27.82, symbol MORF, and SLEB, Selecta, is up 12. Both major winners in a tape that's been okay. Not good. Not great.
Well, I would say since last year, 12/20. That's when we had our, before 12/20 of last year, all the stocks are have done well, except for the Spider Gold Trust, which is funny.
That's coming back. That was down like 9% at one point. ETF alternatives is down also. Short Treasuries down 6.7. That's interesting. We'll see tomorrow if there's anything that's going on there. American Airlines Group, your pick is kind of flat. That's since 519, which is interesting. But Planet Fitness, the short, is up almost 4%. And everything else, I mean, 100% on Train and Global Jets, 42%. Summit Financial, I think, was downgraded recently, but still at 47%. Your chip company, or NXP Semiconductor, up big. Just big, big, big. Lots of green, lots of beauty here.
Yeah, it's a good-looking bunch of picks. People should appreciate what we're up to.
You know, somebody in the chat room is asking, how do you know when somebody's buying and selling? How do you know when an insider is buying?
Oh, there's a million. There's a million websites. Just go look at, Google insider trading, and you'll find 10 of them right there, and you'll check them all out. They post. You have to legally post. If you're a director and you're starting to trade the stock, or your own stock, you have to file most of that stuff with the SEC.
Right. So it's all out there.
It's all out there. It's not like a secret.
So what do you got this week?
Well, this is a weird one. This is EVA. This is EVA. EVA. This is Enviva Partners. And it is being bought up by Inclusion Capital. And it's a lumber and wood product or production operation. And with the prices declining the way they are, this looks like something that might be.
So another buyer candidate, you're saying? Or insiders or what?
I think it's insiders. Or one of these investment operations.
All right, got that on there.
It is an insider because the company is one of the directors.
I am picking Tattooed Chef. I think I may have had that once before. Tattooed Chef is kind of think Beyond Meat, fake meat. We're talking about insects and all that. Talking about a world that may be interesting. I saw some really interesting action. It hit some support. In a pretty ugly tape today, it was down 2%, but that's not a big deal. In the fact that it was up 2%, it kind of started moving. Then also it was up 6% at one point today. So there is a chance that this could be like a short squeeze candidate also. Symbol TTCF, Tattooed Chef. I ate some of their food, not knowing what it was, not specifically going out. It was in the house. Somebody brought it over. And put it in the microwave.
What form does it come in?
It's like, well, this was a vegetable. This was like a vegetable medley. It was delicious.
Like a pre-prepared and you just warm it up kind of thing.
They also have fake meat alternatives. You know, the bean, the pea stuff, pea proteins. So there you go.
And you liked it.
I thought it was really good. I was really surprised. Tattooed Chef.
You're investing like an old woman, which is the way you should do it.
Or Peter Lynch. You want to look at either way.
Peter, same thing.
Yeah. Invest what you know. Invest what you like. Huh. I just got a new pair of Crocs.
Oh, brother.
I got a Crocs that look like sneakers. I wore them all day on the boat. They were great.
Just go to Skechers and you can get that. That's all. Everything looks like sneakers.
No, that's interesting. You mentioned Skechers has a new line called Foamies. That is pretty much a copy of Crocs. Brand new.
Foamies?
Foamies. Foamies.
Are these the ones that you bought and they stink?
No, those were regular sneakers. They were terrible. Ugh. I still have smell memory when you mention it.
Oh God. Well, I'm gonna have to go check out I have a Skechers outlet.
Yeah, it's called Foamies, and it's a direct rip off.
Check it out.
Like
go check it out.
Yeah. All right, I'll see you next week.
I'm a fan. I'll talk to you then. All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.